Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our good Shepherd and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Today I'm going to do something a little different and preach on our psalm. These days, memorizing scripture has kind of gone out of fashion, but for those of us who ever have memorized scripture, the 23rd Psalm is probably one of the texts that we committed to memory. It is by far the most popular and well-known psalm, and part of a vast majority of Christian funeral liturgies. It is full of comfort and reassurance. When I was in a parish in Saskatchewan, there was a German woman who was hospitalized. Now, I don't speak German, but because my music background had required me to learn how to sing German Lieder, I could pronounce it decently well. So I went to someone who had a German Bible and borrowed it so that when I went to the hospital, this woman could hear the comfort of this psalm in her own mother tongue. And as I was reading the psalm in German, she was following along and various phrases she would chime into the reading. It was obviously very meaningful to her. In times of sorrow and distress, this psalm comforts us and reassures us of God's provision and care. But I would like to suggest that instead of reserving this psalm for especially bad times, we follow the example of Dallas Willard, who recited and prayed through this psalm every morning as part of his spiritual discipline. The 23rd Psalm is traditionally attributed to David, who of course himself was a shepherd. He well understood the role of a shepherd in the care and nurture and protection of the flock. In fact, when offering himself up to fight Goliath, he bragged that he had killed bears and lions in defense of his flock. He knew the best places to find food and water, and in the tradition of the times, literally lived with the flock, sleeping in the rough in order to be near them and not leave them undefended. These are the things that would have been in his mind as he called the Lord his shepherd. That care and nurture and provision and protection. Just as he cared for all of the needs of his flock, he understood that the Lord was attentive to all of his needs and that he would lack nothing. A contemporary translation puts it this way, "Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need." David paints a picture of abundance, green pastures and still waters. Green is an important word in this text. And in my experience in the Holy Land, remember Bishop Derek? Green is relatively scarce, except for around lakes and streams. Overall, the landscape is rocky and rather brown. But David understands that the Lord would lead him to places of abundance, not scarcity. Remember, that was the theme of last year's stewardship campaign. And when we operate out of an understanding of God's abundance, instead of a fear of scarcity, we can risk to be generous in our giving. Still waters is also an important image. We know that water is necessary for life. Scientists say that without water, a human being can only survive 3 to 5 days. Animals, too, need water for life. But for the sheep, still water was particularly necessary because the sheep were so unsteady on their feet that if they entered a rushing river, they would be knocked over and swept away. So we see provision and protection hand in hand in this image of still water. In the next verse, David says that the Lord revives his soul. Other translations use words like restore or refresh or renew. The Good News translation says, "He gives me new strength." No matter how you put it, you have an image of moving from fatigue to energy. Can we dare also say, perhaps, from disillusionment to hope? And then we hear David's assertion that if he trusts God's guidance, he will find the right way to go. It is a reminder that we can trust God with the direction of our lives as individuals and as a congregation now that we are moving into this new chapter of our lives. We just need to listen, to discern, and to follow God's voice in our hearts and in our minds. Now, David had a realistic view of life. He understood that it would not always be sunshine and roses, but he understood that always God was with him, and that even when his life was overshadowed by darkness and death, he could walk boldly and confidently, never succumbing to fear, because he walked with God. The images of rod and staff, while unfamiliar to us, would have been clearly understood by David as tools of guidance and protection. No, they were not used to beat on the sheep. Although on occasion, the hook on the staff might have been used to pull a recalcitrant sheep out of danger. In this psalm, the image of a feast is a bit startling. The BAS talks about being in the presence of those who trouble me. The BAS kind of downplays the situation because almost every English translation uses the words enemies. In today's political world, we might talk about God providing a feast for Ukrainian defenders even when they are surrounded by Russian troops. David is letting us know that we can celebrate and trust in God's good provision even in the most dire of circumstances. Even when surrounded by those who trouble him, David is confident in God's blessing and provision. And oil is mentioned, and it's a symbol of divine blessing. And having the cup running over, well, that kind of speaks for itself, more than enough, to the point where our cups cannot contain everything that God is wanting to give us. Such is David's trust in God, that he can look forward with confidence. Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He knows that God will never abandon him, that God will continue to abundantly provide for him, and that always God will show him mercy. Mercy, which is a rich word which holds connotations of compassion and forgiveness and kindness. And I'm sure that many of us remember on the news that Bishop of Washington saying to Donald Trump that, could you have mercy on the people who are frightened these days? And long before Jesus told his disciples that in my Father's house there are many mansions, David clearly understood and believed that his walk with God would go on forever. We too need to remember that the daily walk we have here with God is only the beginning of a journey that will go on forever, a journey of grace and mercy, of comfort and hope, and ever new refreshing of our souls. Because some days we end up physically, emotionally, and spiritually exhausted and need a bit of revival. And that is what Jesus offers each time we celebrate Eucharist, food for the journey, the refreshment of our souls. I'd like to read the psalm again, but this time from Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, The Message. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I am not afraid when you walk by my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a 6-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. And in the words of the BAS Psalm prayer, let us pray. Glory to you, Jesus Christ, our good shepherd. In the waters of baptism, you give us new birth. At your table, you nourish us with heavenly food, and in your goodness and mercy, you guide us beyond the terrors of evil and death to your Father's home, to dwell in eternal light. Glory to you forever. Amen.